We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Caring, wacky, live and local. It's time for the Bart Winkler Morning Show.
From the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios, Ryan Horvath is here alongside myself, Bart Winkler, Tim Allen, in for Bill Michaels today. They are going to be chatting with Scooter Jeanette and Pat Murphy today. One formerly of the Brewers, the other the bench coach with the Brewers. So there is going to be some good Brewer conversation coming up a little bit later. Again, I'm Bart Winkler, and we are joined on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline by the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, and he's going to be the voice of the match coming up this weekend. This is the golf event with Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. It will be broadcast on Turner Sports coming up this weekend at 2 p.m. B.A. joins us. B.A., thanks for a couple minutes. How are you doing during all of this, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to get back and call a real sport once again. Maybe offer up a diversion. A lot of people struggling out there, and we're just, we're doing our part to try to entertain a little bit. This actually worked out pretty well. We're, following all the CDC guidelines, but these players were willing to do it. So I'm stepping out of the Zoom virtual happy hour / chat room / interview area, stuck in my basement, and actually going to go to a real golf course and call some golf.
The Champions for Charity, the match, they planned on doing this almost like right after we knew there was going to be a delay in sports coming back. These guys kind of said, yeah, this is something that we want to do, and now they're going to be doing it this Sunday to raise money for COVID-19 relief. It'll be on TNT and some of the other Turner Network channels. Brian, you've taken time off before. I know you like to get some downtime in the winter, maybe call some college basketball games in between there before your schedule ramps up again. But it's been 2 months of you doing the virtual happy hours, doing some Zoom stuff. Is there I think the last game was the last game you called. Did you do a basketball game, or was it a Brewer spring training game? Because it's been a while now.
The last game I called was a TNT NBA game in San Antonio, and in front of a full arena. It was that was on a Tuesday. I think that was March 10th, and then I traveled to Indianapolis. I was ready to call a game at the Big Ten tournament between Michigan and Rutgers. We were on the floor. We'd actually taken the air, our pregame show, and we were ready to go. And that's when the news broke that the game was going to be postponed, and then pretty quickly after that canceled, and then the whole tournament canceled, and then the NCAA tournament canceled. So, yeah, it all came pretty fast. That was that window. So that Tuesday night I was in San Antonio. We played the game. There were a lot of social distancing measures in order in that game. We had to do some things differently. We couldn't interview players. We had to keep distance, a lot of protocols. But the next day is when Rudy Gobert tested positive. And so the following day, which would have been the 12th of March, we were at the Big Ten tournament, and that's when they canceled it. So last event I did was a basketball game, although I've been calling, you're not aware of it, but I have been calling a number of play-by-play opportunities. I've been getting a lot of these tapes and videos from my friends, or, just some people in need, like these kids playing pickup basketball. And so I've been brushing up on my skills calling these games. My favorite one was this family of four they were playing in California, and there was a last, there was a walk-off made shot to win it. So that was the Hobert family. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, because I wonder, because you take, you know, this chunk of time off, and, you know, it's been a while since maybe you've done a golf event too, but is there a nervousness because it's different? Is there a fear of rust, or have you been, like, if you're a play-by-play guy and there's no sports, you are doing home videos, I guess, to try to stay fresh for when you come back.
Yeah, there's a little bit. I mean, there's always a little anxiety, a little nervousness. I mean, I feel that every game I do, every broadcast, so... I don't know yet because I'm not there, but yeah, I mean, you hope everything comes back to you. There's a part of you, unfortunately, in this window, you know, you go into a lot of reflection about your career and everything, and I've done that, and I've been listening to a lot of demo links from young broadcasters. I've really enjoyed that, actually, and I don't get to do it to this level, so I've had all this time off, so I've been spending a lot of time writing critiques, and so, you know, you start thinking about broadcasting in a much different way, and especially when you're sort of teaching, you know, you're in a teaching mode, and now you got to go do it, and it's like, man, I better go, you know, follow my own instruction here. But there is a little bit of rust, I'm sure, and I'll have to get through that, but this event is a little different. You know, it's a made-for-TV event. All the competitors are going to be mic'd up, so there'll be a lot less of me and a lot more of them, which is a good thing to get started here. But high-profile event for sure. There's going to be millions of people watching this, and I think it's going to be great fun. It's just really important for me to get in there and try to get comfortable. None of us have seen the golf course yet. We're all going. You know, I'm leaving tomorrow, so that's part of it. A little bit of the anxiety has to do with just the unknown, and I haven't gotten my arms around what the course is, where the trouble spots are. So when I get that done tomorrow, Trevor Immelman and I are going to walk the course tomorrow and Saturday. I'll feel a lot better about, you know, what I can deliver on the air.
Brian Anderson joining us here on the Bart Winkler Show. Turner Sports play-by-play. Of course, you guys know him throughout the summer. Fox Sports Wisconsin. The Match Champions for Charity coming up this Sunday, 2 p.m. All for COVID-19 relief. Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady and more on TNT and some of the other Turner networks. I was wondering at first when I saw that you were going to be doing this, if they were going to have you try to do it remotely. I've been watching more NASCAR than I've ever done in my life, and these guys are still away from the racetrack, but you will be able to be there and be physical. And, you know, you've seen more of that, not because of social distancing, but you've seen these guys that are calling the Korean Baseball League and maybe companies that don't want to spend a ton of money to have the broadcasters there. They do it remotely. It's still got to be. I mean, if you're doing play-by-play for a game or an event or anything, I think you got to be there. Don't you agree?
Well, you don't have to. I mean, it's better. It's preferable. And we all feel, as play-by-play announcers, we feel like, you know, that's another level of anxiety not being there. I have called events where I haven't been at the venue. Golf's the one sport that you don't really need to be there, as long as you can hear what you need to hear and see what you need to see in real time. You know, you never really look at a live golf shot anyway when you do golf. But so I think in this time, you know, we're just trying to be as flexible as we can, and that's our orders from our network, our company, and you know that we could be calling Brewers games from a studio. We're going to be able to do this, but we're going to have to do this in a much different way, so we kind of got to expand our mind. Of course we want fans, and we want to be at the venue, the arena, the ballpark. That matters, and you do get a little bit of an energy boost from that. But I think, you know, collectively we're ready to go and do whatever we need to do. You can pull it off. There's enough muscle memory to be able to pull it off from a studio. I did a bunch of NBA games from a studio this year, believe it or not. I don't think anybody even realized it, but when we were doing NBA TV, our center court package, we did probably half of those games from our Atlanta studio. And so it can be done, and the technology is getting to the point where it's sounds the same and kind of feels the same. It's just not being actually in the arena, you know, or in the stadium is a little bit of a difference. But I do feel like this is kind of where TV's going. I think, you know, networks are trying to cut expenses and they want to be able to put more games on or have more programming, more content on, and this would be one way. So all of these networks, including Turner, they were all somewhat prepared to do this, but maybe not thinking it would be this level. They had kind of had some test runs. And then when COVID-19 comes down and everybody's in quarantine, now it becomes a real possibility that we could be doing games like this. And, you know, fortunately, we've been able to test it out enough to be comfortable that we're ready to do it. Now, this event's different because Wheels Up is a big sponsor. Obviously, we're all going to be able to get there thanks to Wheels Up. So we're all going to be able to get to the venue, and, you know, that'll be good. But, again, I'm going to fly there and be there, but we're going to be limited with access. We have to stay in our area. We're not going to have time to interact with the players. We're not going to get one-on-one with them. I mean, we're going to interview them, but it's not like a normal event when you'd walk down the range and you'd be able to talk to guys and, you know, sit right across from somebody and do an interview. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, so much is going to be different for a while when you get back to calling basketball games, when you get back to calling Brewers games. There probably won't be fans in attendance. I think of just when I would do any play-by-play for the radio station or even coming up, even just in a small high school gym, if there's a game with, you know, 500 people or even 100 people and they're cheering, it impacts how I call the game. Do you think that there's going to be some challenges that you've got to overcome if you do a baseball game and it's 5-4 in the ninth inning and the Brewers are down and they have a comeback and there's no ambient fan noise to help you provide that background?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've done a lot of games with no fans. I mean, I spent 9 years in the minor leagues calling games, so that's no big deal. But, yeah, you'll have to think about that. There's a little performance art to it. You know, I guess the one trick that I use, even now, like when we go to Miami and do a game, there's nobody there. I remember Mike Moustakas hit a huge home run in Miami last year. I remember after Yelich got hurt and the Brewers were down, and then Moustakas comes off the DL, he plays, he has his 5 RBI game, hit a bomb of a home run. Well, there was probably, 300 people in a 30,000-seat ballpark. And I can remember thinking to myself, you know, and this is kind of before it all happens, if they come back here and they win this game, there's probably going to be like a real upbeat music bed that's going to go over this highlight. So, you know, it won't matter that there's no fans. I better get my level up here to cover the music. And I'm thinking like more in post-production than the actual live moment. So that was one trick. And then he hits his home run and I just let it fly. Even though I probably could have been heard throughout the entire ballpark, but that's okay. I mean, there is some performance art to it, but, I would be glad to do it just to get back to call games and provide some entertainment for the fans. I mean, people are just, you know, they're starved for it, and they need a diversion. We want to give it to them, and this is what we do for a living. So we're anxious to be able to provide that. I don't know if we're going to get back and be able to do all this, but at least we get a start to it this Sunday.
Yeah, this Sunday, the match, Champions for Charity, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, TNT, 2 o'clock, Brian Anderson with us. He'll be on the call for that. I did I think it's great what you're doing. I read the piece in The Athletic a couple of days ago talking about sort of what you talked about a little bit ago, too, is reaching out, looking at these demo tapes, and giving these kids and future broadcasters instruction. I think that when you're in the point of coming into the business, it's like, how do I get – you find a guy like you see what you're doing. How do I get to be like that guy? And what I've noticed is there's no one path. There's twists and turns that you got to take. And the way that you come up 20 years ago is not the way that you're going to come up now. And I would always wonder, like, what's one good piece of advice or a couple good pieces of advice that would really resonate with these kids? What do you try to do when you're responding to them? Because you can't just say, oh, all you got to do is do this and then you're this. What's like the main thing you try to tell them and get through to their heads?
Well, I mean, my goal, I'll give them instruction based on what I hear on their links, you know, on their demos, and kind of tailor it to what I hear. And you know, I put a disclaimer out that I'm going to be honest. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to be honest, and you have to be prepared to take it. I'm not mean about it, but if, you know, everybody needs work and everybody needs improvement. So I give that to them. But also, mine's more about the philosophical approach too, and the mental approach. And I try to leave with these young broadcasters that you have to, and it's easy to look ahead, far ahead. I want to get to this level, and it's great to set goals, and that's important. But that shouldn't be the most important thing in your daily work. Your daily work or your daily walk, even, is to be the best person you can be in that moment, in that circle that you occupy. And that doesn't just mean on the air. That means with your coworkers, with people that are around you, people that can help you and people that can't. Like, what, dominate your space is kind of my line. Dominate your space that you're in. And when you do that, then hopefully you'll get a chance to go to the next level. And so I felt like I was dominating my space for a long time, calling minor league baseball games. I felt like I was completely on top of it. I don't have anything else to prove here, but I couldn't get out of the Texas League. You know, I spent 9 years in that league. And so then it becomes more about opportunities and, you know, you got to get lucky, you got to get a break, and those things aren't in your control. What is in your control is every day you're in your space that you have control over how you act, how you treat people, how you perform, how you receive criticism, how you try to improve. Never be content with what you're doing, but don't be so hard on yourself either. That's a fine line. So a lot of it has to do with the mental side of it and just not feeling like you're making any advancements. And you're not going to sound like, when you first start out, you're not going to sound like I do right now. I've been doing this for 26 years now, 25 years. You know, I've had a lot of experience. So you're not going to sound like me right away, but you can sound like me. Every now and then I'll send them a link or a clip of my demo my first year. And, you know, most of them are way better than I was my first year. And I try to remind them that, you know, every day you try to get better and realize what you're doing wrong and how to improve your breath support and your voice quality and all of that stuff, how you see the game, your preparation. So you just keep adding those layers. And that's really my message, is be in the now and, you know, let that bounce to the next day. One day leads to the next. And then hopefully when you look back on your career, you'll see this stack up and get to where you want to go.
All those years ago in the Texas League, Brian Anderson wondering, when's my next step? And now this weekend, you'll be calling a golf match between Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, and Tom Brady. Not bad work for you this weekend coming up on TNT, the Match Champions for Charity. BA, we appreciate your time. I know that things are ramping up. You're getting a little more busy, so we do appreciate that. And we'll be watching this weekend, and we hope to talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you, man. Guys, have a great day.
You too. Brian Anderson joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. I think that part of it is really interesting. Like, I remember, did you ever reach out to people, Horvat, like that you wanted their job or whatever?
Yeah, all the time, actually, but rarely heard back. So I think that it's cool when you hear a guy like Brian Anderson saying that he actually gets back to people, sends his first demo, because that was the scariest part when you first get into this. Is I wanted to do, I still want to do play-by-play. They're just so, I mean, those jobs are tough to find. You know, you got to start in the minor leagues, but you don't even get to start in like the minor leagues. You know what I'm saying? You start in like with like the Joliet Slammers. In fact, that was my first job, and you call like two innings of baseball, then you go try to sell stuff for three innings, then you come back and like maybe call the final inning. So that when you're making that first demo tape, you really don't know what to put on it, and you probably don't have a whole lot of experience, and you're, you know, trying to put things together. So it's pretty cool that he gives advice to young broadcasters, because I never really had good luck with that. The first guy that actually got back to me was Pat Hughes, who's one of the best in the business. But
was he at the Scorehouse that day?
I don't think. No, that was Ron Coomer.
Oh, Coomer. Yeah.
I don't know that Hughes. Like, Hughes during the day, he just like shoots hoops, gets in a little nap, I think, stays active. I don't know if he hangs out at the Scorehouse, but I got lucky when I was interning. The guy I was interning with was good friends with Pat Hughes. They did those like baseball albums together, like those classic baseball ones where you get Pat Hughes' voice on there. So I showed up at the house that day and he was like, "Hey, how would you like to have lunch with Pat Hughes?" And I was like, 22 years old. I was like, "This is awesome." He's like, "Hi, I'm Pat Hughes." I'm like, "I know who you are. I'm Ryan Horvath." He didn't really care, but he gave me some good advice. So that was cool.
I think that it is interesting because I've reached out to guys too. John Brandmeier was from Fond du Lac, and he's a huge guy now in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
Not at our sister station, though.
No.
But Johnny B, they call him, yeah. And I reached out to him once. And when you reach out to these guys, I almost like reach out to them, and then I expect that they're going to reply with, "Oh, you're great. Here's a job." Because it's hard to find jobs, and it's hard, like, all right, let me tell you real quick how I guess I got this job. I went in TV. I hated it. I quit. I moved back to Fond du Lac in 2008. I worked at a call center for a year. Randomly, on the radio, in the radio station in Fond du Lac, this guy goes, "Hey, if you know anybody, we just need a guy to come in Friday nights, press some buttons, and board up our high school play-by-play game."
Yeah.
My mom's friend heard that, told my mom, told me. So then I got in touch with the guy. I met him, and now there I am on Friday nights, all because my mom's friend. Otherwise, if my mom's friend didn't hear that, I don't know what happened. So now I'm at the station in Fond du Lac. They realize that I'm capable of speaking words. So they're like, "You know what? Why don't you do a halftime show? Just read some scores." Okay, so I start to read the halftime show. Luckily, there's an FM station in the building. And they're like, "Oh my God, this guy, we need a guy on the weekends just to say, here comes John Mayer."
Yeah.
So now I'm doing the weekend shift. And they pay me a little bit. So now I'm starting to get paid a little bit. At one point, I get an email that says, "Hey, you're doing a great job, but we have to cut budget. We can't pay you to do it anymore." And so then you have a decision. And I'm still doing the call center job at the same time. But you have a decision. Well, I should be getting paid. And I don't even know if this is legal, but I said, "I will still do it. I understand you can't pay me. I still want to do it."
Yeah.
So I kept doing it, which turned into the afternoon job at that station once that guy left. 3 months later, after I get the afternoon job, the morning guy gets canned. Now I'm doing the mornings there. And then I use that. I move to Milwaukee, still drive to Fond du Lac for like 2 years, reach out to the Fan. They need an update guy because Clemens is in Green Bay in August and like two other guys couldn't do it. And I reached out to Chuck Freeman. And so I owe him a lot. And I reach out to him. He gives my tape to Tom Parker. They bring me in. I get on the morning show. Wicket knocks up Lee McNabb. He moves. And now, you know, here I am. So I think a lot of times people in any business or in any job.
Yeah.
This isn't just broadcasting. You're looking for what is the path that you took, because I want to take that path. But as I just laid out, that you can't take that path. That path it's impossible. And now there's different paths. There's podcasts, and you can get in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can like, hey, if I was trying to do it today, I would contact the people at the Fan and say, "Hey, I do this podcast. I can tape it one day a week, and maybe you guys can air it Saturdays, you know, at 10 o'clock at night or something. I just want to be on the air." And so you've got to be creative with how you do it, but there's no one path for you, and the path that I took isn't even available like these days.
I used to get so pissed off because you would get those guest speakers, like a Brian Anderson would come to your school, your broadcast school, and he'd say, "Well, everybody asked me what's the path to get into the business, and nobody else can go my route." But that's what everybody says, right? Because everybody's route to getting in is so much different. I mean, there's former players, which are usually color commentators, or like here on the big show, you know, Leroy and Gary, their route's a little bit different. They didn't have to go to broadcasting school. They didn't have to learn how to run the board because their personalities, they talk and they have game experience. So they know what it's like to play in the NFL. So people tune in. But, you know, guys like us, you have to learn how to broadcast, but you also have to know how to run a board. You have to, you know, screen calls. You have to do sports updates and you have to do this and that. I started, you know, doing play-by-play, though, and that's what I really liked. But the problem was I didn't want to be in the minor leagues my whole life because I got offered a couple gigs in the minors, but it's like you make 15 grand a year. You only worked 3 months. Then you got to find another gig. And that was all good and fun, but then we had Nathan, and, you know, I got a son, and you got to pay bills, so it's just not realistic. It's more of a pipe dream. And play-by-play is so tough to get in. If I could do anything on this planet, I would do play-by-play for the Bucks, for the Brewers, for the Packers. I prefer basketball. Baseball, there's just so much downtime. You really have to be a storyteller. That's why I love, like, a guy like Pat Hughes, or like, you know, for obviously Uecker is one of the best. He's a good storyteller, but he's a personality. But I liked basketball because it was all just bang, bang, bang. You know, there's really not a stop in the action, really. And you know when you're getting out of there. It's a 2.5 hour game at most. But yeah, I kind of did the same thing. You know, went to Iowa, was the sports director there. The toughest thing is what you said you started off doing was I had to be in charge of the staff, so I had to find board operators for high school football games. I came up with this idea, kind of like Mike McGivern does on Friday nights, like the Friday Night Scoreboard show. I was like, we should have a red zone channel where we go to every single game. Like, we have play-by-play broadcast on one of the stations, but on our Fox affiliate, we should have stringers at every single game. When the game gets tight, that guy could do play-by-play. So I did that, and then to make a couple extra bucks, besides play-by-play, I hosted the morning show. Then I went to middays. Then I went back to mornings. And then I did overnights.
Sounds like you had a better life before this.
Yeah, I did, actually. I made a lot of money, too. I made a lot more in Iowa, small-town Iowa, than I do here in Milwaukee, which I have no idea how. Well, I just told you how. I did 50 different jobs. And then at nights, I did overnights. I did country music.
I love your honesty so much.
I knew nothing about country music.
You're like the one person more honest than me.
Yeah. Well, I don't like BSers. I'd rather be honest, which gets me in trouble a lot. It'll probably get me in trouble in about, what time is it? 31 minutes from now, I'll probably hear about being honest. But but you know what I'm saying? Like, so then at night, I wanted to make a couple extra bucks, and they were like, how would you like $10 an hour, you know, on top of your salary? Just 4 hours of voice tracking, country music. What do you know about country music? I know Garth Brooks. So then before you know it, I'm on overnights using a different name. Well, that was Travis Tritt. Hey, did
name?
You guys hear what... God, what was it? Rockin' Ryan at first when we had rock, but then we went to country. I went with Ryan Atwood for a little bit. I took that from the OC. But people knew it was me, you know what I'm saying? But they were like, hey, use a different name. It's kind of just like a joke. Like, they know it's obviously you and you're the sports director, but we can't hire anybody to do overnight countries. But yeah, country music.
Tim Allen was doing shifts on the mix until they fired him.
So he did the mix, but he was in country music too. And he like, me and him always agree. It's like, you know, I rip country music, but I would go back and do that in a heartbeat. It's such easy work. What did Eric Church say to Miranda Lambert? Hey, I got that for you next. And also our $25 cash giveaway after Brooks and Dunn.
And in country music, there's like an award show every week, so there's always something to talk about.
Every week, yeah. It's like every week, the CMAs. And I'm like, didn't we just have the CMAs? And didn't Eric Church bring home 40 awards?
No, those were the country music awards. These are the Continental Music Awards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess we'll do that. But I would say to anybody that is looking to be, if you, whether you see somebody in broadcasting, or I think it's applicable to not broadcasting, if you see somebody and that's the job you want, there, you have to be willing to
go small market.
Well, that is very true, but
unless you
grew
up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, Evan's listening. He's like, I got to the fan right away. I didn't have to do any of this. If you see, you have to be willing to do things that
nobody else would do. Like,
well,
who else?
Yeah, you can't just
parades,
go to the
dude.
Top right away.
Dude, I was doing brownfield reports. Soybeans are down 1 cent.
Yeah.
You know?
you can't just go to the top right away. I was working for money, and then they said, you can't work for money anymore. And I said, thank you, sir. May I have another? But if I would have bailed on that, well, then my radio career probably would have died on that day. And it's not fair. And it probably, again, was illegal. But those are the kind of things that you have to do. You do what you have to do, and you don't ask for permission. You ask for forgiveness.
Yep.
I do believe in that.
I still, to this day, yep, that's still the motto.
Do follow your gut, follow your instinct, and go from there. So good stuff from Brian Anderson kind of led us to this, and I think that, you know, it's very interesting. I think it's great that BA is reaching out to people. If we can help you in any small way, we're happy to do that. It's just, you know, it's a tough business, and it's a tough business to get in, and then it's like the major leagues. They say getting to the major leagues isn't the hard part. It's staying there, and I think that's echoed here a little bit as well. Bart Winkler along with Ryan Horvath. Hey, I want to remind you guys, have I reminded you yet about Window Select?
WindowsSelect.com, 262-703-3500. Windows Select, you guys are doing the projects in the house, and now they're probably done. And now what? Well, you do the bigger projects. You've done all the little stuff you can do. You rearrange the basement. You did all the landscaping. Now there's things to do to decrease the value, not decrease the value, decrease the cost of your energy, increase the value of your home. Those other projects that you need to get done, that you need a little bit of help with to get to the finish line, to make your home just as great as it can be to live in. Windows Select. You got those old windows that came with the house? They'll replace them for you. You got the door that just doesn't have that curb appeal? They've got some really cool things they do with doors. Especially, check out windowsselect.com. Some of the glass inside and stuff, it's really, really neat, really inviting. Replacement siding, they can take care of that as well. Their products all high quality and energy efficient. And they're listening to me tell you about this right now. These guys are local, Milwaukee-based. They'll help you get done what you need done. Now, they will come out to the house, Windows Select, again, windowsselect.com, and do the at-home estimate, and that's free of charge to talk with you and figure out what you need. And then, when they get the things installed, this week they have a great offer. Let them know that Bart was talking about you, about them. Buy one, get one on their products. No payments until 2021, and free installation on the services. This is not like every day you get this. This is a great special this week. Do give them a call. At least set up that at-home estimate. If you're on the fence about doors, windows, siding, these guys can help you go through all the costs. And again, you're not paying anything until 2021. 262-703-3500 or windowsselect.com. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, more coming up next.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez in upstate New York. Shoppers, you might want to rethink the latex gloves and antibacterial wipes for your purchases. Newly released information from the CDC shows you can't get the coronavirus easily from touching contaminated surfaces or objects. Harvard's Dr. Ashish Jha tells CBS This Morning.
I've never really believed that washing groceries or wiping them down with Clorox wipes is necessary. And I think more and more the evidence is you don't need to do that.
Experts say you should still wash your hands a lot and disinfect surfaces. People are missing mortgage payments in record numbers during the pandemic. According to new data, 1.6 million homeowners were delinquent in April. That's the biggest one-month jump in history. We get a new check on unemployment numbers in half an hour. The Labor Department will release figures on people who signed up for benefits last week. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
They have been going down steadily, but the numbers that are being reported are still in the millions, a number that is astounding considering that we were at 50-year lows in the unemployment rate just back in February.
It was a horrifying night at a newly reopened mall near Phoenix. A gunman opened fire. Three people were injured, one of them critically. This woman's daughter was inside.
She's like, Mom, I don't want them to hear you. She's like, can you three-way call Dad in? You know, she's like, I love you guys, and she's scared, and she's 22 years old.
A suspect is in custody after apparently posting video of the shooting. President Trump flies to the Midwest today. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
As the president heads to Michigan to tour a Ford plant making ventilators and masks, he's spoken of holding up federal funding for the state, alleging its officials have illegally mailed out absentee ballot applications to all voters.
Mail-in ballots are very dangerous. There's tremendous fraud involved and tremendous illegality.
Neither he nor his spokesperson offered any evidence of fraud occurring, but Republicans say absentee ballots offer the potential for abuse.
The president's former personal lawyer gets out of prison in New York State today because of fears over the coronavirus. Michael Cohen will serve the rest of his three-year term for financial crimes at home. The welcome back sign is up at Graceland. Elvis Place in Memphis is reopening today with social distancing, masks, and temperature checks. Cleaning will be continuous with added UV light sanitizer wands. S&P futures are down 14. This is CBS News.
You know, there's little things that I forget.
The song?
No, I'll get into it.
Okay. There are little things though that we all forget. Hashtag people forget. Not
people
just you.
Forget that the Score is a sister station.
Yes, they do.
And WFAN, did you see Francesca gets another half hour?
Oh, thank God. He talks politics now, not even sports. Just when he thought it couldn't get any better.
And Amy Lawrence, they bumped the overnight guy to later in the evening. Now Amy Lawrence is on The Fan.
Boom! She's tremendous.
Keeps expanding.
She did favorite sports movies yesterday. Good stuff.
Oh, what'd she come up with?
Don't know, but Heavyweights wasn't on her list, so I already scratched that. Is Heavyweights a sports movie? 414-799-1250.
Boom!
Boom!
I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We put a poll up. If MLB is unable to return, who do you blame? Players or owners? Pretty straightforward, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I put it up. I've read the replies, and I'm already done with my own poll.
Yeah. Can I read some of the replies real quick?
Yeah, there's a Karen that's on there, and she is going ham right now, man. Karen is going nuts.
How about, I think on the beds page, there's a Benny Hill theme.
Oh, geez, you're going to do this to me again? All right. A Benny Hill.
Well, the problem is whenever we put up polls, nobody ever answers the polls. They always go, this should be an option. Yeah. Well, if we wanted it to be an option, we would have made it an option.
I only have a couple options on there, too. Here we go.
It's an either or. All right. If MLB is unable to return, who will you blame? Kevin says mass media and the Democrats.
Of course. Damn Democrats.
Mark says the virus. Cabe says, what a dumb poll question. Braun says, I don't know, maybe things we can't control. Zach says, look at all these bootlickers.
Oh.
Chris says, where's the option for both? Julie says, how about the virus, in quotes? So she doesn't believe it. Cash Homie says, overreaction to COVID-19 due to politicalization. Craig Rick says, the players, I would blame them. They are inmates. Disc Golf Frog says, China and Bill Gates. Melissa says, you missed the experts behind the plandemic.
There she is.
You should give the coronavirus an option. I'm blaming Bart for stoking fear.
Stop. Is that really one of them?
I'm blaming Bart as one. So who do you blame if baseball can't come back, owners or players? How hard is it to vote in a poll?
That damn Sasquatch.
Just vote in a poll and move on.
All right. No more poll questions.
No more. No, no more poll questions.
No more anything for us.
Tim Kirchin on Bill Michaels' show yesterday. Bill talked to Tim about this. Tim with ESPN was actually on the Korean baseball broadcast before he jumped on with Bill.
Nice.
People forget that Korean baseball is being played.
That's huge.
Gut feeling for Tim Kirchin. Does he think there's going to be baseball this summer?
Well, I went to the note of hesitation in my voice. I think we're going to play this year. I think we're going to play maybe in July, maybe August 1st. I think we're going to play between 60 and 80 games or so. But a lot has to happen for that to happen. And the trouble is, like, every single person I talk to about this has an opinion, people who are involved in the process, and some don't think we're going to play at all, and others are 100% sure we're going to play. And that's the tricky, tricky part, is that every person you talk to has a different version and a different look at this. But the bottom line is there is an enormous amount of work to do, obstacles to avoid, money to be figured out, and then and only then are we going to play baseball this year. And I think we're going to do it without fans in the stands, at least at the beginning. And I don't think we're going to do it in certainly all the major league parks.
Let's do some gut feelings here, Horvath.
Okay.
Gut feeling. Is there a baseball season?
If you would have asked me this question last week, I would have said yes. Now I'm leaning towards no.
I think there is. I think that a lot of what's happening right now is just like, it's like in a movie where everything's going well, and then there has to be the big plot point, like, oh my God, you found out that I'm an alien.
I always hate those parts of the movie, right? Like, when everything's going right, but you know, like, the guy's kind of a scumbag, and the girl's about to find out, and then they got to go through the breakup, even though inevitably they're getting back together at the end.
Yeah, then there's a montage.
Usually it's Matthew McConaughey and Sarah Jessica Parker for some reason.
And you always fade out in a montage.
Even Rocky had a montage. Yeah, but
I think they'll play, and I think they'll play in home parks, and I don't think they'll be fans.
Well, it's going to come down to, though, like, are they going to be a little bit more lenient on some of these rules? Because no spitting, no sunflower seeds.
Yeah,
you know,
none of that's going
to
happen.
I feel like they're trying to turn Major League Baseball players into gremlins. Like, you can't get them wet, like, no direct sunlight. You can't feed them food. Like, come on now, these are human beings.
Yeah, you can't treat them like they're animals at the zoo.
Right.
Which I think I might be anti-zoo.
No. The zoo. I mean, it's nice. I have the zoo pass in Milwaukee.
Yeah, but it's nice to go, like we took our little guy there, and he doesn't know what's going on, but he saw a giraffe for the first time. It was actually the last thing I did.
That's actually cool, because the giraffes are, like, really hard to find there.
Before the pandemic.
Yeah.
But, so it's cool that, like, he can see a giraffe, but I feel bad for those giraffes, man.
See, growing up, I always hated the zoo. I actually hated anything that didn't involve
Well,
because
the whole thing smells like poop.
Yeah, exactly. And I never got into animals, but, like, my brother and all my cousins loved animals and dinosaurs and boring crap like that, and I was just into, like, ERA and 3-4 defenses. So I'd always have to, like, sucker it up, like, twice or three times a year and go to the zoo, and I'd be bored out of my mind. There's one thing I like at the zoo. I'd sit in the dolphins area the whole time, and I'd watch the dolphin show, and then I like the penguins. Dolphins, penguins, that's it. And then sharks, but obviously, you know, they don't have sharks at the zoo. But we do have the zoo pass. I love Milwaukee Zoo. I'm wondering if I'm going to get some money back because I buy my pass for the year. Because then, like, you know, if Amanda's off, her and Nate will just go to the zoo. And it's kind of nice, actually. He loves it. And they have food there. You could booze at the zoo, which is huge. You could buy beers there and walk around with beers. That's just a little odd. Tip of the pros right there.
Yeah, last time I went to the zoo, I went to the concession stand and, like, everything was sold out.
Yeah. Yeah, they got good beers too there. They have like craft beers. They have really good chicken tenders at the zoo. There's like a little what are those things called? Like a pop-up shop. They just sell chicken tenders.
Yeah, the cool part about the zoo is they've got the chickens in the front, so you get to see the chicken, and then when you come back to leave, that chicken that you saw is the tenders that you eat.
Hey. Gross. No, they're not.
Gut feeling NBA, it sounds like they want to come back to Disney. It sounds like that Disney thing is happening.
See, that's why, like me saying there's not going to be any baseball, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I mean, I'd lean 40-60. I did think that there was going to be a season, but now with all these rules and the owners and players not being able to agree on anything, basketball, NBA, I guarantee they finish the season.
Well, they seem to want to play more than, like, you don't hear MLB guys right. as much saying, we got to get out there. Right. You do hear the NBA guys saying that.
Have you heard one Major League Baseball player be like, hey, I don't care if I play on a Little League park, I want to play? Because a couple months ago we were hearing that, and then the same guys that were saying that, like, for example, Blake Snell, we got to call him out a little bit. Because 2 weeks before everything really blew up in the United States involving the coronavirus, he was like, yo, look, if I get it, I get it. And that's it, dog. But, like, now he's talking about risking his life, but literally a month ago, he was saying that he didn't care. He wanted to play baseball, didn't care if he caught coronavirus because he's young enough where he would bounce back and recover. He just wanted to play baseball. Now that he's going to be losing a little bit more money, more than 50%, now he's going the other way. Major League Baseball players, I haven't heard one now in the last couple weeks be like, look, I don't care what it takes. I want to be back out there. Where we've heard from Giannis, we've heard from LeBron, Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, he's not even going to be in the playoffs and he wants the season to come back. And so I do think we will get NBA basketball because I believe that the players actually want to be out there. Whereas Major League Baseball, I have no idea because I haven't heard anybody come out and say they want to play right now.
That's a good point. Nobody's really – yeah, you hear basketball guys say that.
Mm-hmm.
I've even heard – you know, you hear some football guys say that. What about gut feeling on NFL?
NFL we will have. We'll have a full season.
Fans?
Fans in attendance. Maybe not max capacity, but I could see like 20 to 25%. College football, I'm feeling a little bit better about,
let me time out before we get into that, because I do this annual Packer road trip that I always talk about.
Yeah.
13 years running, 14. The plan is people want to go to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that would be the game. So we would have to find somebody to work for us, because that's the one I'm looking at, too, to go visit my brother and my
I don't want to go. I don't want to go to Tampa Bay. I've already seen Brady play, if that's the incentive. I've seen
Live?
Brady play.
You were at the Patriots game?
Yeah, in 2010.
Oh, you were, that was a great game.
Super Bowl year, yeah, Matt Flynn.
The Matt Flynn game, yeah. I forgot.
I can't believe I didn't get TJ Rubley in trivia.
Dude, I can't believe that I said Derek Anderson and not Derek Harper, the starting point guard of the Knicks.
I didn't listen to any of that because I was getting a coffee.
And I was actually a huge Derek Anderson fan. He went to Kentucky, but he never really ended up working out. The Celtics took him. I screwed that up. But anyway, going back to real life, I do think the NBA comes back. I like hearing that these guys want to return. Now, let me ask you this, though. Do you think the NBA guys want to come back because They've already played 85% of the season. And like, if you're Giannis, you're going for your second straight MVP, but you're also trying to win a title. If you're LeBron, you know, you got the best team that you've had in a couple of years in LA. If you're Kawhi, you know, you're teamed up with Paul George. You want to come back because really all you have left to do is play the playoffs. Do you think that's the reason that they want to come back? Because they want to finish something they already started? Whereas Major League Baseball is like, look, we haven't started. We don't want there to be this second wave. We don't want to have the season stopped and then restarted and stopped. And we don't want to start something that we're not able to finish. I mean, that'd be like picking up a book today, reading three chapters. It's a really good book, and then you don't know how it ends. You know, that'd be like watching The Godfather and not realizing or not figuring out what happens to Michael at the end of the movie. So I kind of understand that point, too.
Frank tweets in and says, Steph milked a broken hand for 5 months.
Yeah, finally.
No way he actually wants to come back.
Finally.
It's all optics.
Yes. Longest hand injury in NBA history. Shame,
tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, 799-1250. No, but with football, I was thinking going to Tampa Bay, too. But if I go to that game now and there's only 25,000 people, tickets are like $500 for that game. I'll spend money on a ticket for these trips, but I don't think I've ever spent more than $250.
$250, you mean for tickets to the game?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go over $250. I went over $250 once only for a playoff game, for a Packer game. NBA, I've went up to $400 before for a playoff.
The problem with picking a Packer team or a road trip as a Packer fan is that I'm not the only one that does this. A lot of people do this. Whether they do a yearly trip and make T-shirts, or they're just, you know, thinking around and thinking, hey, that'd be a fun trip.
Yeah.
A lot of us around here, our vacations are planned around when can we see the Brewers or Bucks or Packers in a nicer weather location than what we're living in at this time.
Yeah.
So there is high demand. And then you've got the people that have moved, and then the Packers have a good national following. So tickets are always expensive whenever I go to any of these games. And now if you limit the capacity, it's going to be much shorter. I'm proposing to the boys that we just go to like Detroit or Chicago. We haven't done any of the NFC North trips yet.
God, that's so boring though.
But that's in December and January. Look, I'm all for trying to get things reopened and stuff, but I'm not going to go fly down to Tampa and sit among 70,000 people.
Yeah, understand.
A month before Thanksgiving.
No, I'm with you, man. We canceled our annual SEC trip again this year. This is two straight years. After going for 10 straight, we would pick an SEC game. Me and the guys would rent a big van, and then we would just drive, and we would stay for an entire week, get up there, and it's just a whole other atmosphere, especially in like these SEC, like if you go to Alabama, they don't have pro sports, so they're just all in on the Crimson Tide. And at first, I thought they were going to be like the worst people ever. Like, you know, because it's Alabama, and you listen to Paul Feinbaum's show, you realize they're insane. Like, if Saban loses a game, they want him dead. But they're the nicest people ever. And it's because they don't have pro sports. It's really all they have is Alabama athletics. So I'm really depressed about that. And then the Derby, canceling the Derby trip sucked, too. So I'm kind of with you. Even if they, you know, even if my friends wanted to go to the Derby, or even if SEC football's played this year, you know, and you could go to LSU, Alabama, I probably wouldn't go with full capacity. I wouldn't feel safe. I'm all about getting back to my life. I'm arguing with people right now who think, because I want to go to the gym. People are like arguing with me, of all people, because I want to go work out, wipe up my space, and keep everything clean, but also work out so I don't get diabetes here. I want to stay in shape. So like, I'm all for living my life again. But right, I don't want to be in a SEC-packed stadium with somebody sitting on my lap, like breathing all over me either. I want some social distancing, but I still want to live my life.
Yeah, somewhere along the way, you and I got painted as like king, stay in your house forever.
Yeah, what am I? Like, I don't get it because I wanted to flatten the curve and give my sister-in-law, who works in the ER, a fighting chance. I'm the jerk now?
We wanted to flatten the curve. I think that has happened for the most part.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think that, you know, instead of like throwing people back out into virus land, we should get a little more than $1,200. But that's a political thing.
Yeah, I've already spent that on a parlay.
Yeah, and so, you know, the people that I think would say, oh, my God, these guys actually, like people are, I said, someone asked me right when it was starting, do you think people should go golf? And I said, well, yeah, you can golf. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you said that? Well, come on, what do you think here?
I took a picture of me and my kid on a bike ride, and somebody's like, you're not wearing a mask? Well, no, because we're outside, not near anybody. If anybody tries to talk to me, I'll karate chop the hell out of them.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's getting within 6 feet of me or my kid, even if there is no coronavirus.
But I think that all the people that would like to hear us talk about opening things up, I think that they've all left us.
It's fine.
Good so riddance. I think that, yeah. good riddance.
Good riddance.
Cameron says, a buddy of mine used to go to the New Year's Eve game against Detroit and then spent New Year's in Canada. Ooh, that sounds like a fun thing.
You guys want to go listen to Tiger King reviews for 3 hours? Be my guest. Sorry, what was that?
No, you're right. We're the program to listen to. We've got Tim Kirchen portions of an interview that someone else did yesterday.
We just talked to Brian Anderson.
Yeah, we just talked to Brian Anderson.
They tell us to talk more sports. Literally, all I talk is sports. I don't know anything else. Although I may have to give up my card after mixing up Derek Anderson and Derek Harper. Damn it, I can't believe I did that.
You're a loser.
Yeah, I know. What do you got planned for today? It's going to be a nice day out. I tweeted at our good friend.
Yeah, is Evan around? I'd rather talk to Evan than play Kirchen cuts.
He is. There he is. Hey, Evan. Yeah. What's going on, buddy? I'll put your mic back on for you.
Hello.
Yeah, Evan, I'd rather talk to you than play cuts from Tim.
Yeah,
Kirchen.
You actually, you're the producer of Bill's show. Could you just give us the Sparks Notes version on this interview? What did we learn yesterday, Evan?
We did actually learn some pretty good stuff. He is cautiously optimistic that we'll have some baseball. A lot of talk is that they don't really know when they need to make an announcement before they have like a drop dead date. And Kirchen said we could go until end of July without having end of June before anything really needs to be announced. He also said that when looking at like owners versus players, because that's kind of a big battle about the money, he said that both parties should be given a little bit of leeway just because we're kind of in unprecedented times right now. So we kind of have to cut some slack a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know which one of you is answering the phone, so I don't know which one of you I can
talk
to.
That's me, Frank's in West Dallas. Let's get him on. What's going on, Frank? 414-799-1250. What up, Frank?
Ryan Bart, how you guys doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm just calling about AEW on Saturday.
Oh, okay, yeah, please.
I talked Jordan into ordering it.
Well, I don't think I'm going to.
Did you know you can use two people per one BR Live sign-in? If one person orders it, you can share it?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but I do have BR Live, and so if you order the pay-per-view, you also like get it for lifetime, because I went back and watched. I forgot what the name of the last one was, where Swagger and Goldust let it off.
Yeah, that was Revolution.
Hager and Rhodes, whatever their names are now. Yeah, so I actually have that. Well, there you go, Bart. I'll order it, and you could watch on my account.
Yeah, but did I have to pay you?
No. Well, it depends. Let's see how I do in KB.
Frank, you're getting it, I assume?
Oh, of course. I go to all of them when they're usually around, and I'll be getting it. I got nothing else to do.
Do you think it's going to be good with no fans in attendance? Because I've enjoyed the shows, but WWE's been so bad, the pay-per-view.
Well, AEW's, I don't understand how WWE doesn't look at AEW and think, oh, my God, they have some of the other wrestlers as the fans. That's so obvious to do. But WWE won't do it.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see how the street fight on the football field is going to be. That should be pretty interesting. I don't know if you saw any of the show last night at the end. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, are they doing that where the Jaguars play?
Yeah, because Daly's Place, I think, is connected right to the Jaguar Stadium where they've been doing all the weekly shows. So I think that's what they're going to be doing.
Man, did you watch any of NXT last night?
No, I stopped watching them since AEW came on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, NXT, like, puts me to sleep.
I love Adam Cole, but I can't watch any more Johnny Gargano. So
I know all my favorite wrestlers are in NXT. Adam Cole, I'm a Finn Balor guy, but I just, I can't watch it.
Well, that's basically where I'm at. Fans. Well, enjoy the pay-per-view on Saturday.
You too, guys. Save some money and split it if you can, because I think I'm doing it with a buddy as well. So
that's a great idea. Thank you. Thank you for that tip, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you very much.
Hey, COVID's over, Horvat. Why don't you just come here and we'll cuddle and watch it together?
No. Absolutely not. I'm excited to stay home this weekend. I am going to sleep. I probably have slept 8 hours this entire week. Last night, that's my own fault. I stayed up till 10:30 to watch a game that I've seen 55 times that I could watch on YouTube or VHS anytime I want. But it was good. Game 6, the movie.
Evan, did you watch NASCAR last night?
I did not. I had a couple of friends who were giving me some play-by-play of watching it, but I was playing video games.
Dude, I'm not even kidding. I love NASCAR now. I think it's great.
I heard it was pretty controversial.
There was some drama last night. Oh, Kyle Busch cut off Chase Elliott. And Chase Elliott's crew chief used to be Kyle Busch's crew chief. And I didn't know who these guys were 24 hours ago.
I thought I heard something about, like, the guy who, when Chase Elliott crashed, he stayed on the track, and then when he waited for Bush to do another lap, and he flipped him off as he drove past.
Yeah,
is that
it
true?
Wasn't just like a, it wasn't just like a stationary middle finger. He caught him in first eyesight.
Did he use the
thumb? So it was like
him.
The Doppler effect middle finger.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it like
yeah.
the Eminem and 8 Mile, like Britney Murphy, when they flip each other off? Was it that, like, where you have the thumb involved? Or was it just like the Stone Cold Steve Austin, no thumb middle? I'm just sitting here flipping off Heffelfinger. That's what
I think it was. I don't think it was thumb.
Okay, so it was just the finger and nothing else.
Yeah, it might have just been the finger and
nothing
else.
Not the shocker.
I'm going to have to go to the tape and find it at, you know, just do my research.
Well, you'll be in front of a TV today. You can have the Xfinity race on at 11 o'clock.
Well,
I already got money on that, actually. Good call, Bar. I forgot. I took, what's the dude's name that's favored? Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Minus 160.
Is he still racing in it? He's the guy I just talked about that got flipped off.
Yeah, he's at, I think so. They haven't taken it off my board, so I'm guessing so.
Because he just finished a race 12 hours before he's going to start a new one.
So
you ask if these guys are athletes. I mean, I just think I proved to you that they are.
Yeah. Is Kyle Busch the Cal Ripken of NASCAR? 414-799-1250. Joe Zanzola is actually, and Tim Allen are going to take those phone calls, though. Tim's a NASCAR guy.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. He did country music. I think it comes hand in hand, right?
Well, no, you were making fun of me for that earlier. Look, I don't like country music anymore.
I wasn't making fun of you. I just, when I think NASCAR, I think country music. Because, for example, the country music station that I did overnights on, during the day, we'd run NASCAR races.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I had to have somebody board op those things. And one time the guy fell asleep. 0% chance I was doing that.
What are we doing on tomorrow's show?
That's a great question. What is tomorrow? Friday?
Friday.
We're talking with... God, I want to say Brian Anderson, but that was today. I don't know what we're doing, Bart.
Well, I think that we are going to revisit Tim Allen with Scooter Jeanette.
We'll break down NASCAR. We'll preview a little AEW for you. We got the match this weekend, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson. If you could play in a foursome with three other guys, who would it be?
Oh, please.
Living
don't.
Or dead.
No, we can't. Then we're not doing that.
All right, just wrap up. We got 30 seconds left of the show. 20 seconds.
All right, well, Tim actually is in next, and he keeps texting me to let him know when I turn off my device so he can get on.
So turn off your device and let's go home.
Yeah, so I'll talk to you later. Fade out with music. I don't care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.